All right, Shabbos, say good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin. We're up to page 163, and we are picking up in the middle of the page. So let's actually pick up on the bolded lines, six lines in. The mitzvos lo kacha. It doesn't work this way in mitzvos. So what does it mean it doesn't work this way in mitzvos? So remember, again, the theme that we were discussing is an olam hazeh in this world. The way the world often works is you could begin certain processes. I could initiate or begin a process. And once I do some initial steps, so there's an understanding that the project will progress on its own without my constant intervention and involvement. So I shoot an arrow. It's understood that the arrow is going to go in a particular destination without my constant involvement. I put a piece of meat in a pot. So again, it's understood that the cooking process is going to unfold by itself and on its own without my constant intervention. However, Rav Kashtiel writes over here, he says, B'mitzvos lo kacha. It doesn't work this way with mitzvos. Ki mitzvos amanu, shehen lo lefi klalei ha'olam hazeh. As we stated, mitzvos do not follow the rules of this world. Mitzvos ze olam acher. Mitzvos are a separate world unto themselves. Mitzvos ze lo mashehu sheshayech letavnis, lechukim, lesidorim hanormaliyim shala olam hazeh. Ultimately, again, mitzvos are not something that are shaykh to a tabnis chukim starim, to a framework, to rules, to an order that is of this world. Elu dvarim lo normalium. It's an interesting statement. Mitzvos aren't normal. What does he mean? Mitzvos aren't normal. So that doesn't mean to say mitzvos are abnormal. What he's saying is mitzvah is a shaykh ledavar acher, leminagnon acher. Mitzvah is like, it has a different symphony. It has a different sheet of music to it. It has a different order to it. So what does this mean? So okay, we understand mitzvos are not of this world, mitzvos are different. How does that play out? Very simple. He says, Rav Kashtiel writes, the way that manifests itself is the following. That there will say, in the world of spirituality, in the world of mitzvos, you can initiate the process, you could begin something, and you could assume that because you began it, therefore it's going to continue and actualize on its own, and that's not the way it happens. In other words, the theme that we're going to see is that spirituality, in order for spirituality to progress, it requires constant involvement in matters of this world. Very often, if I begin a process, so once I start the process, ultimately, again, the process will take on a momentum of its own and ultimately will fully self-actualize. Again, I will say, it doesn't mean that in matters of this world, all you need to do is put in a little bit of input in the beginning and kind of the rest happens. But what it does mean is, even if there has to be some sporadic involvement here or there, very often the initial input of effort is enough to get the product. I think the cooking, I don't mean any offense to the chefs over here, right? But I think cooking is a good example of this, right? So you have to be involved in the cooking process. But there, let's say, for example, the meat has to be on the fire for 45 minutes. I know it sounds like heresy, the meat on the fire for 45 minutes. But the idea over there is during that time, I don't have to be actively involved in the meat every single second, meaning, okay, I have to what do you call it?
Stir
it, thank you. I have to stir it, I have to turn it, I have to this, I have to that, adjust the flame. That's fine, but there's time in that process where the heat is acting on the meat on its own. I don't have to be involved every single second. There's a process that's been started. What the Ramchal is positing is, and that is true, by the way, for almost every single effort. You know, think about this just a moment. The person invests money in the stock market. So what happens? So I gather the funds. I choose the stocks. I put my money in the stock. Oh, my broker, I put the money in the stock market. And then what? And then you sit back. Now, again, so I have to wait. This day is a good day. This day is not such a good day. So the idea is I've started the process, and then there are other factors that kick in that move the process along. This is true. The Ramchal and Rav Kashdiel posit, this is true in almost every single area of life in this world, with one dramatic exception, and that's Ruchnius. That's spirituality. When it comes to spirituality, there is no such thing as an initial infusion of effort, and kind of the rest goes on cruise control. No such thing like that. For spirituality, every single advance forward, everything requires constant involvement and constant tipul. Constant involvement. And why is that? This is why I keep stressing this point, because mitzvos are not of this world. Mitzvos, simply, when we say mitzvos, by the way, mitzvos we're using as a term for all spirituality, mitzvos ultimately belong to a different type of order. He goes on, he says, Heim lo mefi seder hazeh, heim olam sh'achar shechodei lekan. I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. He says, atatarach livdok sh'achina mitzvah tagir li'yehuda. When it comes to spirituality, if I want something to actualize, I must be actively involved until ultimately, again, it reaches its particular goal. Shuv, hazrizus, hi avana ha'amuka, shemitzos hin lo lefi seder olam hazeh. Him olam shechoder lekan, zeba meha olam ha'elyon. We'll say, and now we come into, now we begin to understand zrizus. So what is zrizus? We'll say, see, it's so amazing that we're learning this because we're developing a dramatically different definition. We've always thought that zrizus just simply means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do something, there's a mitzvah, do it quickly. Why do it quickly? Because the faster you do something, the more that demonstrates your love for that particular item, or your respect or love or commitment to the one who's commanding you regarding that item. So if my wife takes asks me to take out the garbage, so I'm going to do it quickly because, again, I want her to see. I'm not particularly excited about it, but I want her to see it's important to me, which ultimately shows that she's important to me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu asked me to put on tefillin, I'm going to do it quickly. Why? Because I want Kadosh Baruch Hu to see that this is important to me, which means that God's important to me. What the Ramchal is saying is, no, that's true, but there's a much more dramatic component to zrizus. The dramatic component to zrizus, Rabosa, is zrizus says you have to act and you have to act quickly for two reasons. Number one, because the passage of time allows for the introduction of new variables. The longer you wait to do something, the greater the statistical probability that you're not going to do it. Why? Not because I'm lazy, not because I don't care, but because time brings with it its own variables, new circumstances. That's number one. And number two, because if I don't constantly act in order to bring my spirituality to fruition, or this is to fruition, then the process doesn't move forward. The meat cooks by itself. The arrow, once released, will go in a particular direction. Things in this world, once you infuse initial koach, occur on their own. Spirituality only occurs with constant involvement, constant tipolachim. Therefore, I must actively make sure that the mitzvah continues on to its desired goal. Right? You can't. This is a Rav Kashdiel quote, not a Ramchal quote. But you know, he says you can't say God. Sorry, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. He'll say yes. Baruch Hashem, it'll be okay. Right? It'll be okay on an individual level. It'll be okay on a national level. But Lamaisa, when it comes to your spirituality, never say Tov Yehi B'Seder. That's not in the lexicon of the Jew. B'nyanei Ha'olam Hazeh, normally the Hagid Zeh. You know, it matters of this world. So when you put your money in the stock market, so you could say Tov Yehi B'Seder. It's going to be okay. Right? Because again, as long as you have some time, the market will be all right. The money will be all right. The Mirat Hashem. Kacho Ha'olam Hazeh Oved. This is how this world works. Invest your initial energy, begin the process, and you have to allow the process to kind of unfold a little bit by itself. The mitzvos lo. But with spirituality, it is a dramatically different animal. With spirituality, ultimately, again, it only works at the end of the day if lemaisa, again, a person has constant involvement. Lachin, yeshes hamusag, ligmar es hamitzvah. Therefore, I will say there is a concept of finishing up an important, not a concept, but ultimately, again, an insistence, or really better stated, an incredible importance placed on finishing the mitzvah. Kilomar, levado shehu be'emes higia el matarasa, el yuda, kizel mukroch shikrakach. So we will see, that's why, again, there's an incredible emphasis, ultimately, on finishing mitzvahs. Why? Because it's not so poshut, and it's not so simple, and it's not to be taken for granted, that just because I begin something, that something will automatically come to fruition. Ha'olam hazeh lo mituam itcha, klavi ha'metzius lo yiduim lecha, tarech livdok she'achin zeh yisrachish, she'achin zeh kara. Ultimately, again, a person has to make sure, put their involvement, that what I want to materialize will materialize. Because again, lemaisa, that's not a guarantee. We'll say this I think is, and I don't want to be repetitive with this, but this is such a fundamental yisod. What it's saying is that in olam hazeh, in worldly matters, there is a principle that says infuse effort, and then the effort kind of takes on a little bit of a momentum of its own to ultimately bring about the desired results. In the world of spirituality, it does not work that way. In the world of Ruchnius, if you want something, I must actively engage that process every step of the way in order to bring about a desired result. If I think that through an infusion of some initial koach or some initial effort, ultimately, again, at that point, after that, everything is going to be okay, it's simply not the way that it works. Everything takes time. Everything takes ongoing effort. Let's go ahead. Let's just begin the next line, the next section. Top of page 164. Lo ligmor ha mitzvah, hafsaka shal mahalei chayim she'ischa. Lochein. Chazal, here bo lahasir al hanosei gemar mitzvah. So we'll say, now we understand, by the way, why Chazal place such an incredible emphasis on finishing the mitzvah. And we'll say, Judaism has this interesting dialectic that on one hand, we say, lo alecha hamalacha ligmar, right? That, you know, you don't have to finish the job. V'ata ben chorin li batal mimena. But you're also not permitted to not engage. So on one hand, Chazal seem to be telling me that I don't control the results. Which I will say, as you know, when we're young, Moshe David, you're young, say Allah. Right, when we're young, Gil, I'm sorry, we'll talk after this year. Right, so you're young. If you have the question, then you're young. Right, so when we're young, we think we control everything. And then as we get older, we very quickly realize that the truth is we control very little. That's why Chazal say, lo alecha hamalacha ligmar, that the responsibility to finish the particular task is not necessarily on you. But what's my job? My job is engagement. That's my job, to engage. So on one hand, Chazal say that. But yet, look at this. Yet the Ramchal writes, Chazal places an incredible emphasis on finishing the mitzvah. It says, Va'al zeh hir bo lahasir zochron lebracha v'amru, kol ha'maschil b'mitzvah ve'eino gomer osa, kover ishto ubanov. We'll say, and we're going to spend some significant time on this statement because it's an incredibly dramatic statement. Anyone who begins a mitzvah and doesn't chas v'shalom finish it will bury his wife and his children. V'amru, and Chazal said, Ein ha-mitzvah nikreis ela ashem gomra. And Chazal said that a mitzvah is only called by the name ultimately of the one who finishes. In other words, what the Gemara is referring to over here is if somebody begins a mitzvah and someone else finishes the mitzvah, then ultimately what? The credit for the mitzvah is given to the finisher. In fact, the paradigmatic example of this is Moshe Rabbeinu with Atzmos Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who made sure to take the remains of Yosef when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, right? And remember, again, everyone else is filling their pockets with the spoils of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu is getting the remains of Yosef. And what happens? Who's credited with the burial of Yosef? It's Yoshua, right? Why is it Yoshua? It's Yoshua because Yoshua is the one who actually brought the remains into Eretz Yisrael, for burial. So you see, so on one hand, we have Chazal telling us, Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar, your job is you don't have to finish. And yet, Chazal saying over here, if you begin a mitzvah and don't finish it, Chazal again spell out catastrophic consequences. So first of all, tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we'll discuss what's the deeper meaning of these catastrophic consequences. Seems a bit harsh. That's number one. And number two, how we reconcile ultimately again this medrash with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. All right, we'll stop over here.